Get Into My Head, an Ocean's 8 fanfic, written by Duck Girlie, and read by Schmaler,
Winged Words,
and Secrets of Lufnar.
Summary. Constance has more money than she ever thought possible, and yet she still managed to acquire 1.5 roommates. Constance is jingling 3 illicit pieces of jewelry in her pocket when she opens the door to her apartment to find Nineball taking up her entire couch. I feel like a $5 million apartment, they should probably have better security in place. Nineball smirks and keeps tapping at her keys. But also, I guess, you probably hacked into the building security and put yourself down as my emergency next of kin, or gave yourself permission to make a copy of my key or whatever, and you probably aren't gonna, like, kill me or whatever. Constance deliberately leaves the end of the sentence open for Nineball to confirm that she doesn't, in fact, intend to kill Constance. But she doesn't get the reassurance. But Constance is fairly sure that if Nineball actually wanted to kill her, she'd be dead. She shoves the duffel bag at the end of the couch to the ground and flops down next to Nineball, glancing at the screen to see that she's playing Candy Crush, rather than whatever nefarious computer crimes Constance had assumed. Not that it's not nice to reconnect, but you also have several $1 million and multiple pieces of property to your name, so...
Let's order pizza,
is the only answer she gets. Constance shrugs. You do it. No olives. Nineball has been on Constance's couch. Technically her spare room, but mostly her couch. For 3 weeks, when Amita texts Constance to ask if she wants to get lunch. Constance is not used to this level of crime. She would never have thought to communicate with people she committed grand larceny with, for at least, like, a year. But if Nineball sees nothing wrong with crashing in her apartment, and Lou and Debbie are whatever Lou and Debbie are, then she figures it's probably fine. Nineball puts something in all their phones to stop people being able to track them, or spy on them, or various other things Constance thinks are probably unnecessary. She's really not planning on committing any more major crimes, at least for the next while. But she does meet Amita for lunch. She likes lunch, and she likes Amita, and she's okay to sit through what will probably be many stories about Amita's European vacation in exchange. Amita takes her, expensive but subtle, coat off, and puts her, expensive but subtle, bag on the extra chair. She starts talking before Constance can even say hello.
Men are trash.
It's good to see you too.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Hello, you look great.
But men are trash.
They are.
The waiter, who had been conspicuously ignoring her while she waited, takes less than 15 seconds to arrive at their table once Amita is settled. Amita orders champagne without even looking at the menu and says they'll need more time for food. The waiter backs away immediately. This is the part of money that Constance had never really considered after buying her apartment. Amita wears money much better than she does. She can't even remember if the sweatshirt she's wearing is a $4 basement thrift store one or a $400 one designed to look like it's from a basement thrift store. Amita is wearing a dark orange dress and Louboutins. Constance has never bothered to learn anything about designer clothes. You can't lift an address, who cares what it's worth? But Amita's watch is 10 G's, easy. They talk about France, eat pasta, and drink a lot of champagne, until Amita finally brings it back to her initial subject.
Men are trash.
So I've been told.
They're just...
She gestures for more champagne, which instantly arrives.
The worst.
So I might be reading into things here, but I take it Tinder guy didn't end up being that great?
He was fine, sort of. Never date men who deeply resent that they enjoy how much more money you can spend on them than they can spend on you.
Constance raises her glass. Noted.
I think I was being hasty. I'm not a princess, you know? I shouldn't settle for the first man I see once I escape from my tower. I mean, not like I haven't seen other men in my life, or that I was in a tower. I've lost control of this metaphor, but you get me, right?
Constance thinks she does, but she has had at least a full bottle of champagne at this point, so all that comes out is, I think that, like, you can be a princess if you want to be. Amita blushes. She's cute like that.
You're right, I am a princess. I'm not the issue here. Men are the issue.
Because men are trash.
They are!
Amita shows up with a bag of bagels 3 days later, and Constance genuinely does not remember giving her the address, but she was also pretty drunk, so who knows. It's not like Amita is going to sell her out to the feds anyway. She's pretty sure. Anyway, Nineball is still there, and no one is going to sell Nineball to the feds. There are maybe too many bagels, but Amita assures her they'll freeze well, and Constance has a very large freezer that only has ice in it, because Constance lives off takeout. Nineball lives off whatever Constance is eating, and the occasional sandwich she brings home whenever she's out doing whatever she does when she's not on her laptop. Amita has also brought 3 kinds of cream cheese, some lox, and strawberry jam. Constance appreciates that Amita understands what kind of kitchen Constance keeps. She's surprised Amita didn't show up with cutlery, but she does actually own knives and stuff. Amita is clearly a little surprised to see Nineball there, even though Constance was sure she'd mentioned it at lunch. She doesn't let it show for long, though, offering Nineball bagels and coffee before she even turns to Constance. Constance makes a bagel with scallion cream cheese and more lox than is really necessary, and can't stop herself from calling Amita princess when she takes it. Amita blushes less this time, but it's still there. Amita has been a lady of leisure, her own words, for less than 2 months before she flops down between where Nineball and Constance are playing Fortnite and says she needs a job. Don't you still have, like, $35 million? France couldn't have drained you that dry.
No, that's not it. I just need something to do with my time. Don't you guys get bored with no structure to your days, nothing you need to do?
Constance and Nineball are still in their pajamas at 3:15 in the afternoon.
No,
says Nineball.
I have never felt that way.
Amita leans her head on the back of the couch to stare up at the ceiling.
I'm just not ready to commit to only ever being a useless rich lady, you know?
I have always dreamed of being a useless rich lady, says Constance.
And also, my mother is starting to get suspicious, and I can't tell her I have $35 million or she'll want me to get married, and as you both know, I've declared all men trash.
True.
Nineball holds her hand up for a fist bump. Amita pulls her head up a little to make sure she makes contact before flopping down again. Yo, you should talk to Tammy, Constance says. Tammy fixed me this place. She knows everything.
Tammy's legit,
agrees Nineball. She knows everybody, or she knows someone who knows them. And she knows things like, don't buy a $5 million co-op with cash. That makes you look like a criminal. So now I've got a mortgage and everything.
She does,
replies Nineball.
And a fake inheritance from a great-grandfather in Hong Kong that explains why someone with no job has enough money to get a mortgage.
I'm on a list somewhere. Kirsten Gillibrand keeps calling me to ask for money.
I'll email Tammy on Monday.
Amita gets to her feet.
Do we have any food that I didn't bring over more than a week ago?
It takes Constance so long to answer that Amita just assumes she doesn't. She's probably right, at any rate.
Let's go for lunch. Somewhere nice. Somewhere that you'll have to change out of those sweatpants to get seated in.
These sweatpants cost more than any of my jeans, says Constance.
Those sweatpants have a shiny patch on the thigh where you wipe your hand while you're eating popcorn.
Fine, princess. For you.
You kids go ahead.
Nineball pulls her headphones on.
I got some stuff to attend to.
We'll bring you food back,
Amita says.
That's my girls.
The woman in front of Constance on the subway is wearing the most beautiful bracelet she's seen in a long time. The subway goes around a bend, and they bump off each other, and Constance lifts the bracelet without really thinking about it. It's going to look so perfect on Amita's wrist. Tammy does find Amita a job. Amita describes it as basically what she was doing before, but for far more money and without her mother, which is all she needed. It takes until about midday on her first day for Constance to realize why she hasn't shown up in the apartment yet. Yo, is it Monday? Nineball actually stops what she's doing to stare at Constance.
Yes.
Constance shrugs. She has never really led the kind of life where knowing what day of the week it is was of critical importance. But now she guesses she's going to have a vague idea of when weekends are. She flops down on the couch next to Nineball. I'm hungry.
Go make a bagel.
We ate all the bagels.
Go buy some bagels. Leave me alone. I'm working.
The woman behind the counter at the nearest bagel place was cute enough that it was nearly worth having to leave the apartment and buy her own bagels. She gives Constance extra locks and writes her number on the bag, and Constance is feeling pretty good about herself by the time she makes it to one of her usual haunts. Three of her friends come over and instantly accuse her of ignoring them lately. She guesses she has been kind of busy. Even after the job, she was holed up moving, and then Nineball showed up, and since then, she's mostly been hanging out at home with her or Amita. She's been a little boring, probably. She needs to hang out with her boys, and maybe go on some dates, and stop hanging out exclusively with two people and her mom twice a month. Constance watches Jason practice a new flip while she finishes her bagel, and then pulls out her phone to text Bagel Girl. There's a new message from Amita waiting for her. An Insta DM of a desk nameplate with Amita's name on it, and she has to send back some fireworks emojis immediately. Before she's even finished, Jason wipes out hard, and after running over and helping him to his feet, Constance forgets why she even had her phone out in the first place. Constance picks Amita up from work one Tuesday, and they walk to a nearby hole-in-the-wall diner to grab dinner before a concert for some band neither of them have ever heard of, but Nineball assures them is excellent. Amita has been at her new job for a few weeks now, but Constance still hasn't gotten used to seeing her in suits. When she's dressing for herself, Amita tends to favor colorful dresses, or Lululemon yoga pants and giant sweater dresses. Seeing her in a blazer is always a little weird, and sometimes makes Constance's shoulders wriggle in uncomfortable solidarity. Constance has never worn a blazer outside of that one night at the Met, and she's planning on keeping it like that for as long as she possibly can. After they eat, Amita carefully folds her blazer into a plastic bag, then puts the bag in Constance's backpack. She's still not really dressed for a concert in the back room of a bar, but she'll stick out a little less, at least. Constance gives her a hair tie so she can give herself a ponytail, because she assumes Amita isn't going to want to shove all her hair under a beanie. Even if that does make the likelihood of someone getting cheap beer all over your hair a little less likely. Nineball has put their names down at the door, so they don't have to wait to get in. The band is, in fact, pretty good. They're not really the kind of music Constance listens to on her own time. They're definitely not the kind of music Amita listens to. But they're the kind of band you can dance along to even if you don't really know what's coming next. They're honestly a little mainstream compared to most of what Nineball usually plays, but Constance guesses everyone has hidden depths. They end up at the bar in the corner, and Constance orders a rum and coke and drinks half of it before the bartender has even finished making Amita's tequila sunrise. She doesn't miss a step, though, and pours her a second one to take with her. Constance slips the napkin, it has a phone number on it, impressively fast work, into her pocket, and shrugs off the weird look Amita gives her. You never know, right?
I guess.
Constance still hasn't given Amita the bracelet. She's not sure why. It's not like Amita is really going to get sniffy about something being stolen, like some of the girls Constance has dated. But something keeps stopping her. It was sitting in a tiny dish on Constance's nightstand for a while, but she couldn't keep herself from staring at it whenever she was in her bedroom, so she moved it to a drawer. So far, she hasn't felt compelled to open the drawer to check on it, but it's only a matter of time. Constance goes on a date with a girl she met at the skate park, and it's fine. The girl is a year or two younger than her. She's in school, and she mentions right away that she's super busy and not really looking for someone to spend 100% of her time with. Which is usually exactly what Constance is into, because spending all your time with one person seriously cuts into how much time you can spend doing everything else. But for some reason, she's not into it. The girl's cute, and Constance even thinks for a minute about taking up the unspoken but obvious invitation back to her place to hang out some more, but she doesn't. She has plans with Amita tomorrow. They're going to try and drag Nineball to the zoo after breakfast, and she doesn't want to be dragging herself home after midnight if she's getting up early. The girl tells her to text her if she wants to meet up again, but both of them know it's not going to happen. When she gets home, Amita is curled up on the couch next to Nineball, watching her obliterate the competition in Battleborn on her laptop. "You're about 10 hours early for breakfast." Amita pulls her blanket over, so there's room on the couch for Constance to join her.
"Getting the subway here tomorrow morning was going to be hell. I figured you wouldn't mind if I crashed on your couch so we could be bright and early."
Constance sits down next to her and hooks her chin over her shoulder to get a better view of the screen. "Always welcome, princess." Constance and Amita are watching Netflix on Constance's bed because Nineball is using the big TV for something.
"Oh, hey, I left my charger at the office. Do you have one?"
"There's probably, like, 6 in the nightstand." Constance doesn't even steal iPhone chargers. They just seem to accumulate around her. She isn't even thinking about what else is in the nightstand, because at this stage, Amita has basically seen all of her apartment. Amita tosses a diamond earring at her.
"Are you just hoarding these like a dragon now? You know I can help you move this stuff, right?"
Constance has $30 million spread across several bank accounts. She's not exactly pickpocketing for bus fare anymore. She's been planning on getting Amita to look at some of the stuff she's lifted in the past while at some point. She just hasn't gotten around to it yet. They're diamonds. They'll keep.
"Oh, this is gorgeous. Not your usual style."
Time seems to slow down for a moment as Constance realizes that Amita is holding the bracelet. "Oh yeah, that one." Slowly, Constance takes it out of Amita's hand and fastens it around her wrist. She rubs her thumb over Amita's pulse for a second before pulling her hand back. "Hey, do you want popcorn? I kind of want popcorn. I'm going to go get popcorn."
"Wait, Constance."
"Popcorn!" When Constance gets back to her bedroom, 3 bags of popcorn in her hands, Amita is standing by the bed.
"So, I'm going to go, okay?"
Constance drops the popcorn. "No, you should stay. It's cool. We can just watch the movie."
"No, I'm gonna go. I'll see you soon, and thanks for the bracelet."
She's still wearing it when she leaves. 3 days later, Amita hasn't come around and hasn't even texted her. Constance doesn't want to text her because she's the one who walked out. She must have a reason for not wanting to talk to her. She's wandering around the apartment, grumbling about everything, until eventually she drops down on the couch and moans until Nineball stops whatever she's doing to look at her.
"What the fuck did you do?"
"Nothing." Nineball rolls her eyes, puts her controller down, and sits down on the couch next to Constance.
"How'd you fuck up?"
"Why do you think it was me?"
"Babe, please."
Constance sighs. "How do you think I fucked up?" Nineball pushes her hair off her face.
"Well, it may have escaped your notice, but you absolutely want to bone Amita."
Constance stares at her. "I'm not a fucking idiot. Of course I want to bone Amita."
"Fine."
Nineball smirks.
"But it has definitely escaped your notice she wants to bone you back."
Constance jerks back so fast she rolls right off the couch. "You're lying." Nineball taps her fingers over her heart.
"Hope to die."
Constance still doesn't quite believe her, but she figures Nineball has no reason to lie about any of this. Well, fuck. Constance tries to text Amita, but she doesn't respond. It takes another 2 days before she decides it's time to go big or go home. And she texts Amita to say she'll see her after work on Friday. That way, Amita can duck out early or stay later or whatever she needs to do to avoid Constance if that's how it's going to be, and Constance will take that as her answer. But then at 5:15 p.m., Amita is walking out of the building and coming to a stop in front of Constance. Constance hadn't even realized how much she had missed seeing her every day until she's right there, and she wants to say something to express that. But instead, what she says is, "So Nineball says you want to fuck me." Amita's eyes widen sharply, and she takes a step back, and Constance covers her face with her hands. "Oh god, she's right. I'm fucking this all up." Amita pulls Constance's hand away from her eyes.
"You're being unnecessarily dramatic right now."
"I had a whole speech planned."
"Well, that's nice. Are we done now?"
Constance looks up at Amina, who has her arms folded across her chest and looks jittery. What? No, we're just starting.
Constance, can't we just, like, acknowledge this is a thing and forget about it and then in, like, 3 weeks' time pretend it never happened?
Constance has already lost control of this conversation. I would prefer not to forget about it, though. Forgetting about it means we definitely never end up fucking, and I was hoping that might be on the table. Amita stares at her.
You want to fuck me?
Yes? I thought that was obvious to literally everyone in New York. Also, I don't just want to fuck you, but like, kiss you, hold your hand, all that gay shit. Amita still has her arms crossed against her chest, and the silence has dragged on long enough that Constance is starting to worry. Look, can you say something? Anything. Even if you're just going to knock me back or whatever. I just need to know what I'm dealing with here. Or I can go, I guess, if that's what you want. It takes a second longer, but Amita finally unfolds her arms and takes a step closer so she can touch Constance's elbow. Amita smiles.
You can take me out to dinner. Then I'll walk you home. Then we'll see.
Dinner is good. Constance keeps waiting for it to get awkward, but it doesn't. Afterwards, they take the subway back to Constance's building, and Amita walks Constance to her door. So, says Constance.
Are you gonna kiss me goodnight?
Asks Amita. Constance shrugs one shoulder. I'm going to kiss you, at least. You can decide if it's goodnight. She takes a step forward and crowds Amita against the door, sliding one hand into her hair and resting the other one on her waist. She kisses her neck and then the underside of her jaw first, before finally making it to her lips. Constance isn't big, but she's stronger than she looks, and she presses Amita against the door with everything she has. She can feel Amita's hands clenching in the air before they finally settle on her shoulders, pulling her even closer. They finally break for air, but Constance doesn't move back much, keeping Amita tight against her. Amita smiles.
Okay, yeah, take me inside. I'll send Nineball a fruit basket if she complains.
Nineball already has her headphones in, if she knows what's good.
Excellent.
The end!